Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling theme, Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the J. Cole to my boss, so stop doing the wrong drug for so long. And welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing?
Besides being damp, I'm a bit confused this evening.
You're damp and confused. Do tell, sir, do tell.
Well, the dampness stems from monsoon season here in the Pacific Northwest, where it monsoons several days per week for 2 months.
Yes.
The confusion part stems from earlier in this very Total Dudes run, say around mid-ish November, someone on the show, and I'm not going to bury Rex by saying who it was, but it was someone on the show, said that the early season NBA games were a mirror to what the entire season would be, and thus the Pacers proved their superiority in a second week win over my beloved Boston Celtics. But looking at the standings, I see that the Celtics are 12 games over 500 and only 5 games out of first place in their division. But yet the Pacers are much closer to 500 and are 11 games out of first place of their division. I don't understand how that could be possible based on the second week regular season NBA game.
Well, my guess is that it is very akin to how the Purdue Boilermakers, while the best team in NCAA basketball, are somehow not the top team in the Big Ten, while the Indiana Hoosiers are the Big Ten champions, put up on their big old banner with all their other championships they've won that the Purdue Boilermakers have nothing to do with except for losing. They've lost. Purdue Boilermakers have lost for a lot of those banners. So, yes, I'm sure it's very akin to the Purdue Boilermakers losing for all those banners.
I don't think it's kind of that at all, because when you think about it, someone had the foresight to say the season is a marathon, not a sprint. Yes, a marathon, not a sprint. And looking at the standings, it seems that theory was the exact correct theory.
A marathon and not a sprint.
Yes, otherwise the Celtics would not be only five games out, and yet they are.
Put me on the Skype. Put me on the Skype, son, guys.
Well, you're on the Skype. Wait, now you are.
Oh, there I am. So.
There you are.
A marathon and not a sprint. What team won the marathon that was the Big Ten season?
Well, it was neither the Pacers nor the Boston Celtics, which are the two teams we were discussing because the discussion was NBA regular season.
Oh, so the Boston Celtics won the NBA regular season?
No, because you don't really win the NBA regular season. You can only win your division title in the regular season.
You can win a conference title. What place are the Celtics in the conference?
And I didn't bother to look at the conference standings.
Oh,
but
why don't I take a glance? I'll take a glance for you.
All right, take a glance.
Go ahead with your butt, though. Go ahead with your butt, because your big old butt. Go on. I'll take a glance, but go on with your butt.
That's kind of odd. You keep focusing on my butt. However,
you
moving on.
Go on with your butt.
And then you just lingered on my butt. It was a little strange. A little strange.
I almost lingered on your butt. Harley.
Yeah, you know, those divisions, they seem to show the Celtics in contention. They could still conceivably win the Atlantic, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. We'll have to play out the rest of the games.
Well, I'm looking at the conference standings, and the Celtics aren't winning that. In fact, let's see, they're seven games back from winning the conference, so they're not the best team even in their conference. Let's take a look at divisional standings. I'll go there with you as well. Because I wanted to talk about championship winners, like Big Ten championship winners. And I know who won the Big Ten championship. Do you? Can you name them? Tell their name.
It was Indiana this year. Which only goes to prove, must have been a down year in basketball.
It was not. It was actually a great year in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten was a great, you know, it was a great conference. The Hoosiers aren't even the top-ranked team in the Big Ten. That would be Michigan State. The Hoosiers are very great. They're not even the top-ranked Big Ten team. That's how good the Big Ten is. Purdue was allegedly the top team in basketball. They're not even in the top 25. That's how great basketball is.
And did you notice Gonzaga once again already a lock for the NCAA tournament? Already in it.
Are they? Gone
Mark Few is a genius.
Yes, he's all right.
All right, the man has led tiny little Gonzaga, who had not been in the tournament since the days of John Stockton, to like 12 straight years of NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but it's NCAA.
That's what I said, NCAA.
Yeah, I know. I can't spell tonight. I don't know what the problem is.
Could be dyslexia.
I do not have dyslexia. My only problem is ADHD. But here's how I spell this.
Are you for dyslexia?
I don't have a problem with dyslexia. I spelled
you
it.
You might.
No, I don't. MBA. I'm a special education teacher. I know these things. NBA. ATALANTIC. DIVIS. Iowanla. Don't know what the problem is this evening.
Theo Huxtable had a problem with dyslexia. That's why he kept getting bad grades in high school, but then they diagnosed it in college, and he improved, and he was on the dean's list.
And you know what he's doing with his life now?
They haven't had a reunion show, so we can only speculate.
He is now Al Cowlings.
I see.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Atlantic Division. There's 20-ish games left, we'll say. The Celtics are 5 games back on the Raptors.
That's what I said, yes.
Not even going to win their division.
They very conceivably could. It's not insurmountable.
Yeah, and I conceivably could be on a podcast that people actually listen to.
It happens.
Yeah, well, it hasn't yet, has it?
Are you saying no one listened to your episode of the Undisputed Wrestling Show?
Nope. Maybe 100 people. 200.
Well, that's people. Still people.
Well, to be fair, the first one was on the same episode as George South. And people probably listen to George South. Maybe like 10 people. So, we're probably pretty set. Pacers, yeah, we're trailing behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, but Cleveland has a player that the Toronto Raptors, you know, the powerhouse that they are in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Raptors, don't have. Can you name one of the three players? I can name three players that are great on Cleveland that Toronto, the Toronto Raptors, the team that is better than the Boston Celtics, that they don't have.
Wouldn't there be like 12 guys?
No, there's three. There's three. Specifically two, honestly, this year.
So 10 of them play for both teams is what you're telling me?
Oh, here comes some of the sign guy crosstalk because his brain goes all googly.
You're the one that said they only had three players that the other team didn't have, which would indicate both teams have the rest of the players as the same.
That's fine.
Zane Paisley will confirm this in a meme.
No, I'll agree to it. That's fine. They have the same players besides three. That's fine. I'll agree.
All right. Okay.
So what three could possibly be different? Huh. Well, let's just go with what one could possibly be different in the Central Division that doesn't exist in the Atlantic Division.
LeBron James is one.
Oh, LeBron James is in the Central Division, constantly playing against the Indiana Pacers, yet not constantly playing against the Boston Celtics? Huh. That's interesting. Huh. You mean the Toronto Raptors don't have a player like LeBron James?
I mean, they don't have LeBron James. They have players like him, I'm sure, because every team carries forwards.
Yeah. Name them. Name the players on the Toronto Raptors that are similar to LeBron James.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with their small forwards.
I'm sure DeMar DeRozan, he probably plays some time at small forward.
Yeah, he probably does.
He's very similar to LeBron James. Good one. Yeah, maybe Luis Scola. Maybe he plays some time at small forward. He's not that big. Huh. Yeah.
Maybe if they ran small.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors, they're really comparable to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're a powerhouse. Whew. Cleveland's probably worried about them.
They probably are because it's Cleveland. They'll choke.
Well, kind of like the Boston Celtics have for their entire, when did they last win? 2000 and something? 2000?
2008 was the last O'Brien trophy.
When did they last win their title? 2000?
2008.
No, no, a real title. Was it 2001?
2008.
It was what, 2000?
Wow.
Yeah, Boston Celtics, they're nothing. No one cares about them. They're a joke. But did you see that the Indiana Pacers that we signed, can you name who we signed?
No one cares who they signed because there's literally not one fan of them anywhere. Anywhere. You go to any place, you'll say, is anyone like the Pacers? And people will say, the whom?
Let me answer you. I'm on this right now with you, and I have an entire wing of my house devoted to the Indiana Pacers. There's autographs.
It was a drunken thing when you were trying to redecorate. You said, what's the most ridiculous thing I can do? And you said, I know. Something no one in their right mind would do, and then that went up there.
I own a Reggie Miller jersey. I own a Dale Davis jersey. I own a Peja Stojakovic jersey. I own a Roy Hibbert, a David West, a... there's another one, but I don't remember who it is offhand. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Rick Smith.
It's not a Rick Smith. I would remember that, but I can't remember offhand.
I'm going to guess... Mel Daniels.
I'm going to walk out here because I can do that. Let's just see if it does. Oh, Danny Granger. I remember before I even looked. I'm looking to see if I forgot anybody, though. Dale Davis, Reggie Miller. Okay. Peja Stojakovic, Roy Hibbert. Oh, I forgot Jermaine O'Neal. Just like most people do. Just like most people do. We, up there in the Pacific Northwest, they're big Jermaine O'Neal fans, right?
If you're a fan of the Blazers, yeah.
Yeah, the jail Blazers era.
Yeah, that was a dark time. They've recovered since then.
Not really. What have they done since then?
They're having a pretty good run this season.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see.
At least you're covered if you run out of toilet paper. I'm guessing that was your point.
I'm just saying, you still didn't name who the Pacers signed this week. Do you know?
No.
Ty Lawson, my man. What do you think about
Ty
that
Lawson,
one?
Ty Lawson, my man. Is that like a Greek name?
Ty Lawson, who played for North Carolina and won titles, and then he played for Denver for a bunch of years, and then he played for Houston for a half season. He's had 4 DUIs at the age of 28.
I see.
So he's already my favorite Pacer.
So he eclipsed Dale Davis.
Man, it would be a hard choice of who my favorite Pacer was. I think it would be Dale Davis. Reggie Miller's probably up there real high. You know what I was seeing on eBay the other day, Sign Guy, were Damon Bailey Indiana Pacer jerseys.
How many did you get?
Zero. They were way too expensive because they're very rare. Very rare. He didn't play very many games.
That he did not.
Nope. About as many as Quanzo Martin.
I bet Quanzo has eclipsed him.
Yeah, I bet most people have. About as many as Steve Alford. Steve Alford's eclipsed him. Hey! Sign Guy, have you heard of this? You know the guy Chris Brown that beat up Rihanna?
I've never met him.
But have you heard of him?
A little bit, not very much.
He has this new song. It's called Back to Sleep. What do you think the Chris Brown song Back to Sleep is about?
It's about how he goes back to Betty by after he hits the snooze button on his alarm clock.
Okay. Well, you think it's about him going back to sleep after he hits the snooze on his alarm clock. That's a good guess. But let's see what these lyrics are. I just heard this song like moments ago, and I wanted to get into this. All right, so here's the lyrics. I know you got work pretty early. I'll be around about 3:30. 3:30 in the afternoon, right? Like, she probably works in a school, high school. Or does he mean in the morning?
Could be in the morning. It could be a factory worker.
That's true. So he'll be around about 2:30. Usually you done by 1. I really don't know what that means. I'll be around about 3:30. Usually you done by 1. So, baby, when I wake you up, just let me rock. You know, he wants to have a moment. Rock her to sleep, do you think?
It could be like how mankind used to just sit there and rock.
Pull his hair out?
Yes.
Well, let's see what this next line is. Fuck you back to sleep, girl. Don't say a word no. No, don't you talk. Just hold on tight to me, girl. Fuck you back to sleep, girl. Rock you back. Oh, I guess we were wrong. It's about something completely different.
Well, you didn't even guess, to be fair.
Oh, I would have guessed back to sleep would have been like, you know, he had fallen asleep probably watching Raw like I usually do because it's horrible. You know, he gets up, he falls asleep. Oh, God damn it. Oh, that Wyatt segment put me out. And then he's like, ugh, guess I'll watch it and then I'll go back to sleep. That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah, we were both wrong.
Yeah, it was about fucking a girl back to sleep. Huh?
Speaking of that.
Fucking a girl back to sleep?
Yes. This episode of Fuller House on the Netflix, the episode Lucha Mucha.
Oh, no.
That was the weirdest Fuller House I have ever seen. It defies description that 10-year-old boy could walk by a ring wearing a mask, say, oh, my brother's in there, because he mistook a midget luchador for his 7-year-old brother. He dives into the ring, and then the wrestlers say, let's get this fan out of the ring. No, they don't. They say, let's start wrestling this 10-year-old boy that we don't know that was just walking by. And then DJ says, hey, that looks like my son. I'll just dive in there. So she gets into the ring and magically can do spots that most people on Raw would love to be able to do. She's doing head scissor takedowns, jackknife covers, Lamahi straw cradles, all this
high-end
stuff. But yet, claimed she had never watched wrestling, didn't know how she did the moves. She's just in there to grab her son. But instead of grabbing the son, she's running off the ropes properly, hitting clotheslines, going for the jackknife cover, trying to win the match. And the Dario Cueto-like announcer apparently offered her a 1-year contract, which she turned down.
I started in to watch that show, and we just didn't. We instead started watching the show Love, which is delightful.
Did it have an episode where one of them magically knew how to professionally wrestle?
No, and that's why we didn't watch it. Professional wrestling has been pretty garbagey. All right, let's talk about this. All right, so no more Fuller House, no more talking about how bad your favorite professional sports teams are.
Is that a Rez reference?
Yes. Zane Paisley, you know him, correct?
Yes. And apparently so does my Aunt Gertrude. We just established that fact yesterday.
Your Aunt Gertrude?
Yes.
How does she know him?
Well, apparently my Aunt Gertrude worked in the courthouse there in Peru, Indiana, with Zane Paisley's mother, whom is one of my biggest fans.
The courthouse where Zane Paisley went for his secrets?
Probably. You know, she probably saw him around a time or two, and she's like, is that the same Zane Paisley whose mother worked at the courthouse with me? And I said, I believe it is. And we established that it was.
Interesting. Hmm.
It really was.
Oh, P.S., I'm periscoping myself at the moment. Have you heard of this periscope?
Is that the thing that Bad Blood does at NWA Blue Collar where he walks around with his phone and talks to it?
Yep, that's what I'm doing. I'm periscoping it. So anyone who's listening, look up the periscope at the Razor Ramones. And then you can see me doing this. It's going to be bonkers. But to get back to where we were, Zane Paisley watched this episode and he offered a competition on his Instagram. Did you see this?
I did not.
Well, Zane Paisley at Zane Ulysses on Instagram offered this. He proposed that there was this scooter gang started by Brie Bella, Daniel Bryan, and your lady. Your girlfriend, sign guy. Your love of your life. Not your wife.
I wouldn't go that far with it.
You wouldn't?
Oh, no.
How far would you go? You would say she is
the best thing on the WWE Network, perhaps.
But there's those Smoky Mountain shows, there's those world-class shows, there's those Mid-South shows, and you're still going to say Renee Young's the best?
Yep, because I don't see people sitting around eating lunch on a Smoky Mountain show. I do on Unfiltered.
You know, I got a book right there sent to me by Bobby Blaze, Smoky Mountain Wrestling Champion.
In the book, does he mention being on Sun Guy's Wrestling Show 1 week from this coming Friday?
Oh, he's going to be on it?
Yes, he is.
That's outstanding. You're going to ask him about the Razor Ramones, right?
I just might.
Ah, he loves us. He's the best dude. I can't wait till we get a hang with him. That's going to be awesome. But regardless, we still are getting distracted. I can't believe I'm getting distracted. I don't know why. Users of Periscope, you know why. Let me show you get a Periscope. Right there you go. It's that aluminum can. It says LITE up the side. What's that picture there? A fine Pilsner beer. Gulp. Alright, so Zane Paisley proposed the scooter gang, and he said, what, pray tell, would you call this scooter gang of Brie Bella, Daniel Bryan, and Renee Young? So, sign guy, I came up with the perfect name for it. I already know what it's called, regardless of if you guys like it or not, but what do you think?
Team Scooter.
That sucks.
It's Daniel Bryan-esque because he's from the era where every team is team something or another.
I came up with the real one. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
I said okay.
Well, you know scooters. There's a certain type of
great restaurant there in Columbus.
It's an excellent restaurant. But I'm talking about these things you ride. There's a certain type called mods. People who are mods, they like to ride. They're called Vespas. Have you heard of the Vespa scooters?
No.
Well, they're a famous scooter. So I came up with the team name Yespas.
Alright.
Yespas. God damn it. God damn it, it's good. Zane Paisley will get it. And that's all that matters. I don't care if you get it, sign guy. Zane Paisley will get it.
He might.
Oh, he will. The Yespas is really good. No, think about it. Scooters. The most famous scooter that all the geeks ride are called Vespas. So Daniel Bryan's gimmick would be called the Yespas. God damn it, Sonya. How do you not know what a Vespa is?
Well, I don't ride scooters.
God damn it.
Although scooters does have a very nice lunch menu.
Ugh. Well, you know what? Hit that music. Let's do this.
And I'm waiting for it to cooperate.
Tonight's episode of Total Divas, we watched, we transcribed said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's said scene, it's going to feature me as Rosa and as Paige, and it's going to feature ya boy, that's your boy, the bass guy. Sign guy as Natalia Neidhart. And scene.
That's like your third plate of food in the last hour.
It tastes really good.
Mmm.
I've been dieting for the past 9 years. Slapping diva. You eat healthy. After. This is what tastes good. Now. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Paige, want to take a picture real quick?
Well, more food there, huh?
Want to see my new cat?
I'm hungry, though. I have to go, though.
You want to see my new cat?
No. Not at all.
She's just jealous.
She's jealous of my plate.
Yeah.
Thank guy, what was this?
This was a scene where Rosa had gone into a phase where she had this voracious appetite for food. Natty was shaming her. And then when Paige walked by, Natty's like, oh, you've not seen the 37 pictures of my cat. I'm going to send them to Cat Fancy. Cat Fancy will want to interview my cat. They'll talk to my cat. It's going to be great. You want to see my cat? And Paige is like, no, don't care. Just kept walking. Now he's like, no, my cat, look at my cat, look at my cat. And Paige just kept walking. Didn't care about the cat. Just kept going. And then Natty tried to explain to Rose, oh, she's just jealous. And Rose is like, oh, yeah, my plate of food here. Because Rose had like a fourth plate of heaping mounds of food that she was just devouring.
She had those big old plates of food. So, sign guy, who did you hate this week?
Number one on my list was Nikki.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't have put her that high, but interesting. Go ahead.
Nikki this week found out that Renee Young was riding a scooter around her hometown because she and an undisclosed person only had one car, and so she thought the scooter was the way to go. So she bought this scooter, and Bree's like, oh, a scooter, they probably get great gas mileage. I'll get one, too. And Nikki's freaking out. She's like, no, you can't have a scooter. I forbid you to have a scooter. And Bree's like, but I'm a grown woman in my 30s that makes her own money. Nikki's like, don't care. You can't have it. And she's like, Renee, tell me something bad that happened on your scooter. And she's like, well, I almost crashed, but I didn't. She's like, close enough. And she forces Renee Young against her will to go to Bree. Like, tell her the story how you nearly died and were injured severely. And Renee's like, I never said a story like that. Not even close. And Nikki just glared at her, this death glare. Because she's like, how dare you not make up lies about near-death experiences in order to dissuade my sister from the scooter. And the whole time, throughout the whole episode, she's just constantly going to people, bugging everyone she came across. Don't let Bree have the scooter. Don't let Bree have the scooter. It got to the point where Daniel Bryan had to just tell her right to her face without any fear of consequences or anything, we don't like you. Don't like you a bit. We don't even listen to you. We don't really like you. Now get out of my castle. And he actually threw Nikki out of their home.
He did.
Because she was so horrendous and trying to paint her sister Bree, who's the same age as her, as some defenseless little 5-year-old who wouldn't be able to operate a simple motor vehicle. And Rex has dropped the call. He was so in shock that Nikki was on my number one that he has dropped the call like it was hot. It's like he went back to 1999, listened to that song, drop it like it's hot, and then dropped the call. That is what Rex has done here. So I will wait for him to come back. And in the meantime, I will go to my number two. Number two dislike was Josh. Josh, the NXT rookie, helped Paige move from Kevin's home to apparently his home. They never really specified who all lived in this place, but it was some broad. And then Josh was there. They sort of kind of implied he was living there, but not really. And he just kept smirking and smirking and smirking and smirking. Made me not like him at all. I say, well, no wonder the kid has to dress in a hallway the rest of his time there.
Yeah. Am I on two things? Oh.
Apparently you are now.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Whatever. Keep going, Sonny. I don't know what happened.
All right. And so the guy just smirks and smirks and totally dislikable. So that's why Josh was my number two. Well, I went to my number two because you dropped the call like it was hot.
Is something wrong? Hello? Oh, no.
Oh, no, what? Sonny, oh, no?
What have I done? What have I done with my life?
Drank it away.
I don't know.
What?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold. You are now in the host queue.
What did you do?
I don't know. The Skype messed up and died.
Wow.
Oh, my God. What is happening?
I don't know, but what an arduous journey of a nightmare.
That's what this show is. Hey, you know, it's still better than anything with QT, though.
Wow, I probably hurt QT right in his liver.
All right.
Just because he makes one girl quit the business with an interview.
Oh, man, I don't know what happened. It was working, and then it wasn't, and then I thought it was, and then it wasn't. So that's life. That's kind of like life.
So why don't you go to your number one?
Guess.
I will guess Josh.
Nope, Brie Bella.
I was close. All right, go ahead.
Well, so her sister wanted to talk with her. Just walked over, and Nikki's like, hey, I want to talk to you. So Brie Bella answers it by going, ew, why? As if she's so much fucking better than anyone in the world that she's disgusted that someone, like her twin goddamn sister, would want to talk to her. So, yeah, what a jerk. And so what does she do during that conversation? Do you remember, Sign Guy?
Refresh my memory on it.
She picks her fucking ear and flicks her earwax all over her goddamn sister. That's what she does.
Oh, yeah.
She picks earwax out of her gross-ass ears, fucking probably full of fucking quinoa. Her quinoa earwax flicks it all over her sister. That's what she does. And you thought her sister was worse. Can you recount me with a time when Nikki Bella flicked her quinoa earwax all over Brie?
I cannot, but I can recall when she was so bad that Daniel Bryan, of all people, threw her out of his home.
And Daniel Bryan is married to the quinoa earwax flicker. So let's relax on that. Let's pump our brakes. What a garbage can. What a garbage can Brie Bella is. Brie Bella is literally the thing that you would put your rubbish in. If you had a bin and you labeled it rubbish above it, it would look exactly like Brie Bella.
To be fair... tomorrow morning when I put everything out, we separate our rubbish from our compost from our recycling. We have three bins.
Yes, I have two. No, I have three. You're right. I have three as well. And I just put them all in the same one.
That's illegal in the city of Seattle. You can be fined.
Yeah, well, I don't live in fucking Seattle because I'm an adult. And I live in America. And I can do what I want with my goddamn trash. If I want to
not in the city of Seattle, you can't. They're strict.
That's why I don't want to live in your Nazi-ass city. I'll toss these aluminum cans in with my newspaper and then throw them in with the dirty diapers.
That would get you probably 5 to 10 years in Seattle.
Yeah, that's why Kurt Cobain killed himself.
No, he had other reasons. Do you know they tore that room down?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes. Too many people were trying to climb up in there and shoot themselves.
Because of the rubbish piece?
I guess, but yeah, the house is still there, but they tore that particular room down.
What other reasons did Kurt Cobain have to kill himself, Sign Guy? You seem to be in on the know.
Well, there's several theories. One of the theories was he had a severe stomach condition that caused intolerable pain, and he just got tired of trying to medicate himself. One of the theories was the marital strains with Courtney Love just got too much for him. One of the theories was he hated fame so much that it just drove him to kill himself rather than continue on as a famous person.
What do you think about the theory that El Duque of the Mentors murdered him for money from Courtney Love?
That's another one. There used to be a show on Public Access called Courtney Love. No, it was called Kurt Cobain Was Murdered by Courtney Love.
Yeah.
And it was
and
this
then,
guy that spent 30 minutes of his week, every week, coming up with conspiracy theorist ideas on how Courtney Love was able to murder Kurt Cobain and get away with it. It actually drove her from Seattle.
I thought he was the one that did the documentary then later.
I believe he did, but he had a Public Access show for probably 2 to 3 years.
So he's a fucking kook is what you're saying.
Yeah. But it drove Courtney Love from the city because it inflamed all the Kurt Cobain fans so much that they were getting kind of threatening towards her. So she fled the city, moved to San Diego.
So you're saying... Oh, never mind. I was going to make a joke about that great hole record, but I'll just leave it alone. Back to Brie Bella. Speaking of horrible, terrible women that no one likes at all. What a garbage can of rubbish. So she goes to Craigslist to buy a scooter because she's into recycling. She's so into recycling, she doesn't want to buy a new scooter. So she goes to Craigslist of all the goddamn places in the galaxy that exist at one, albeit a quite enormously wealthy WWE superstar's wife and diva might go to buy a scooter. She went to fucking Craigslist. And saying, who did she find on Craigslist?
You'll have to refresh my memory again.
You don't know his name? Kayon!
Oh, yeah, the former WCW Tag Team Champion.
Yeah, Kayon! Now, when... Kayon was on my bottom list as well. When it's time for Brie, who said, I'm going to go on fucking Craigslist, the worst place imaginable of all humanity, to find my new used recycled, reduced, reused, recycle scooter, do you remember what Kayon said?
No.
I could just load it up into my van and take it wherever you are. This motherfucker. It's on Craigslist.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah, he's on Craigslist to begin with. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to get murdered. How can we avoid that? We'll meet this creepy lunatic fucking rape van monster in the middle of nowhere and look at his fucking broken scooters that he probably stole to make money to fund his human trafficking habit. Kayon. So who else did you hate, son?
Now, to be fair, the actual real Craigslist killer from right nearby here in Bellevue, Washington.
I know! That's what I'm saying.
Everybody else is just an imitator.
That's what I'm saying. She lived... Well, I mean, I guess they were where? They were down there, down south, right?
They were in Arizona or California, whichever one.
So, but Daniel Bryan should know enough to say, don't. But he hasn't done that yet, so... He's had plenty of chances to tell her don't. It's not fucking happening. All right. Who else you got?
Well, I did my number two. Do you want to do your number two?
We'll say Cayenne. Cayenne Pepper was my number two. Kenyon.
All right.
Chris Kenyon. who's better than Kayden?
Go ahead.
Number three, I had Zeb.
No, God. All right, so guess what? Guess who my number one on my favorite list was?
Nikki Bella.
Zeb Coulter, because I would never in my goddamn life pick anything but Dirty Dutch Zeb Coulter Mantell as my favorite thing.
Well, I put him at number three because when Nikki's looking for people to tell Bree not to get the scooter, you stumble upon Zeb Coulter, who's just sitting there in his stripped-out wheelchair, and he just sits there and he looks like he's on heavy medication and battling Alzheimer's. He's just completely confused. He's got no concept of what they're trying to say. And I'm like, just move on, Zeb. But no, he just sits there trying to decipher what they're saying.
He was so good.
It made him look like he was like a Alzheimer's patient.
He said, what did he say? He said, what about a scooter? Something like that. What? I can't remember. It was excellent. The first wrestling toy in a long time, I got to find it. And I was searching store to store to store to store. It was the Zeb Coulter. And then when
you say a long time, are we talking like 2-3 months?
No, it has been years upon years upon years since I'd bought a wrestling toy. I probably hadn't bought a wrestling toy since 2001 or so. And then I got this one in like 2015. So it'd probably been 14 or 15 years, I would imagine. And I needed it. I needed the Zeb Coulter toy. And when I found it, it was the best day. And then I did the same thing with the Daniel Bryan, with the Yes We Went shirt, and then the Sami Zayn. And I'll probably do it with someone else at some point. Maybe not. Who knows? Hey, but
now, do you think
that
Zeb Coulter was against this scooter because he is hardcore into the whole, like, vehicle safety type of deal?
Because of the dead granddaughter?
Yeah, he got into campaigning for stricter laws and so forth and so on. Do you think he was anti that scooter?
I think it was pills. I think it was just pills. I think this was probably very shortly after he just had a surgery. No, it wasn't, actually. It was
shortly after he
came
back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. All right. I disagree, though. Zeb was great. Last of my list would the worst page. Page. Absolute garbage. This dummy. She's surprised that her relationship with Kevin was just feeling so different after telling him she didn't want to be engaged with him anymore. She said, "Oh, I don't get it. I'm just surprised that after I told this fella, you know, I don't want to spend my life with you, that I think that you are not good enough for me, Paige. Fucking, have you met my family, my parents? You're not good enough for me to marry and spend my life with you, Kevin. I'm sorry, but I'm Paige freaking Paige. Sorry, brother." And then she was just like, "Huh, things are really weird between me and him. I guess I'll just move all of our stuff out of the fucking house in the fucking middle of the night with goddamn Josh, the Yeti, and his fucking whomever, and then I'll call you and tell you we took everything away." What'd you make of it, Sun Guy?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I almost put Paige in my top three dislike, but Josh guy took the spot.
All right, tell me about it. Tell it. Everyone hates Josh. Josh is the worst.
I already did.
Hey, wait. Oh, yeah, I didn't hear it.
But here's my question. Beth and I, my wife, we were discussing, is Paige fucking Josh?
It seemed like there was something going on there because, like I said earlier, they never explicitly said she was living with Josh, but it was sort of looking that way, like she'd moved in with Josh,
but we know
which would
Josh
be awkward because she was just
kid.
The coach for
and he was
tough
married
enough.
With that kid, and they kept talking about it constantly on the show.
Oh, he wasn't married. He had the daughter, but he wasn't actually married.
Yeah, whatever. He was so into those two on the show.
Here's something for you.
Yeah.
Paige, in this season, is acting like she owns the place. She can do whatever she wants, gets her way all the time, spoiled brat.
Mm.
Imagine Paige told Josh, don't you worry, I'm bulletproof. I can do anything I want. I'm Paige, so you can do anything. And he's like, can I trash guys on social media? She's like, absolutely. He does so. They throw him in the hall with his gear and say, you have to dress there for the next 250 days, which is the length of his deal. We've not seen Paige on television since.
Perhaps. Well, while we're here, let's jump into our likes. My favorite person this episode, Saraya Knight. Holy
well, you're going straight to
God.
Number one?
I'm just going straight there. God damn it. She's the best. God damn it. Although, I have to be fair, I didn't like seeing her crying and being so vulnerable. I kept thinking, like, when is this bitch going to get drunk and punch some idiot in the fucking teeth and then knee someone to death? Because she's scary. She's terrifying. She thinks Kevin's a decent bloke. Ah, she's the best. And then here's my question to you, Sign Guy. Why is Paige versus Sweet Saraya not the WrestleMania main event?
Because they don't have Saraya Knight under contract. And because Paige may never wrestle again due to concussions.
That's true. But when these two, when they were wrestling in the Monkey Joes or wherever they were wrestling around, all right? On the TV, I've been watching the show with the closed captioning on. It had just been saying Saraya the whole time, right? These two started doing that wrestling segment at Monkey Joe's. And then started calling her Sweet Saraya on closed captioning. It was unbelievable. It was. And then Beth was like, oh, it's been saying that the whole time. I said, I don't think it has. And then as soon as the wrestling segment was done, it started saying Saraya again. So why do you think that happened? Was the closed captioner a big fan?
Possibly.
Hmm. Let's get my favorite part. I'm trying to get my best Saraya Knight voice, but I haven't smoked enough cigarettes or eaten enough glass in my life. How much glass do you think Saraya Knight eats? How many pounds of glass?
Pound and a half.
Pound and a half? That's it? In her life? She's an old lady. Mm, all right, pound and a half. Do you remember when you were young and you were singing the Spice Girls and you had no front teeth? And then, what did she do, same guy?
Paige?
No, Saraya.
Oh.
Do you remember?
No.
She wipes her face off with her sweaty ass sock from Monkey Joe.
Oh, yeah.
She starts crying after the Spice Girls. You had no teeth. And then Paige says, oh, you're my mom. And she says, oh, I'm so sad. And starts crying. And she uses her dirty ass sweat socks. She's just been grappling around in this dirty ass Monkey Joe's bouncy castle, and then she's like, Brad Payne's like, oh, don't use your sweaty socks. She's like, oh, I don't care. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's how diseases can transfer.
She has infections all over her face now. It's very sad. All right, so who'd you like?
Well, my number three, I had Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson,
yes,
if you will.
Me too. In the same spot.
Now, he wasn't in much, but he just right to the point with Nikki. It's like, we don't like you. We don't listen to you. And she's like, but aren't you afraid? And he's like, I'm more afraid if she's checking into a hotel by herself at 3 a.m. than if she's riding on a scooter that can only go 40 miles an hour. Up and down side streets. Because it's not legal on the freeway, so she won't be on it. But we both know Brie will do it. But
yes, of
he's
course.
Like, I'm not so much worried about that. There's a lot more things that she has to do. Her day-to-day life that would concern me. And she's like, no, you have to be concerned about this. He's like, nope. And by the way, get out of my house. He wasn't even sorry, didn't feel badly that he hadn't thrown out. He's like, just get out of my castle is what he said.
That's very true. Now, my favorite Daniel Bryan moment was when old Kayon, he was trying to hustle them out of money. He knew they were flush with cash. He knew it. And he smelled a big payday for himself with Kayon. So he was trying to sell them some broken-ass fucking mopeds. Let's call them what they are. They're mopeds. They're what people who have had four DUIs like get the new backup point guard for the Indiana Pacers, Ty Lawson, have to ride around on. By the way, do you think this is why Brie Bella has to have one?
It's entirely possible.
So, Kayon Pepper, he's trying to sell him these fucking scooters. And Daniel Bryan says, I'm going to honk every time you lie. And it was amazing. It was totally fake. It wasn't a real segment. But it was great. And I laughed. Did you laugh at the honking?
A little. Now, here's a interesting part to your theory.
Yes.
In previous seasons, we've seen that Bryan and Brie each had vehicles, but yet in this episode, they made it clear they only had one. So maybe your theory is correct, and they had to get rid of one because Brie lost her license to operate an automobile.
Or maybe they didn't have to get rid of any. She just needed a means of transportation and didn't want to ride a bike.
Could be. Can you imagine her riding that thing to the airport twice a week?
Well, my thought all along was that she was taking the car and Daniel Bryan was the one driving that fucking shit. It definitely wasn't going to be her driving. It's going to be him fucking hopping on that shit, slapping on his dumbass helmet, going to the Whole Foods to get his almond milk every week. It's not going to be her.
I bet she's zipping up and down the side streets, 4 a.m. screaming at the top of her lungs, Brie-mo.
I'll agree with you that she's doing that. But I don't agree that she's riding it to the grocery store or riding it to the airport or anywhere she needs to. She's riding around wacky being a goon. Yes. But she is not riding it for purpose.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Who else did you like?
Number two, I had Renee Young.
Oh, what a shock.
Oh, Renee
She's
Young.
The one, no, I don't, I'm not allowing this. She's the one that brought on all the scooter bullshit.
But she didn't intend for anyone to buy one, nor did
she
intend.
She was very intent.
She was just telling them how she's been using this scooter because an undisclosed we only had one car, so she got this scooter just to zip around. I believe they were in somewhere in, maybe she said they were in Vegas. That's
they are
right.
In Vegas. It's Dean Ambrose, yes.
Well, it was undisclosed. She didn't say that.
Yeah, undisclosed. Yeah, sure. It's probably Ryback. She wants
it could be.
Guy.
He's from Vegas. And so
yeah,
she's zipping up and down Vegas and on this thing, and she's telling him how much she enjoyed
wait,
it. And got gas mileage.
Wait, pause. Who would you rather fuck? Here. What is it? Fuck, Mary Kill? Is that the game?
I believe so.
Yeah. Fuck, Mary Kill. Ryback, Dean Ambrose, Renee Young.
Hmm. I probably have to kill Ryback because, you know, he hurts people. Hurts people.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want that.
I can't wait to hear who you're going to fuck and who you're going to marry.
It is a dilemma. Let's see. I'd have to go with the marriage to Renee Young because she'd probably go to the altar on that scooter.
So now tell me about this fuck session you're going to get into with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
You want to keep that segment of your life, right? Your sweet fuck with Dean Ambrose.
I sense a tone of jealousy.
No, I'm fucking Ryback, dude. I like the muscles. I think he'd be a sweet power bottom. Ryback would know how to take it from a man. You don't get big muscles like that for the lady. And I'm going to marry Dean Ambrose because he seems like he'd be a very understanding and compassionate lover.
Well, you have to call him your wife. Your wife, Dean Ambrose.
You're married to a man. There's no wife. There's no husband. You're just married. It's your lover. It's your husband. Give me my husband.
What would you do to do the whole repeat gimmick?
My husband. I don't know. I didn't think about it.
I think it's something very important you should think about before you actually propose.
No, because I think you would actually be thinking about that big guy sitting on the side. You know something about that big guy? He's got big necks and big pecs, you know what I'm saying? You got the big guy as your side. You got Dean Ambrose as your husband. What else do you need? You're going to take the two of them, and you're going to slowly murder poor little Renee Young. You're just going to slice her from ear to belly button.
Wow.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Listen, you're fucking Dean Ambrose, so you have no room to talk.
I still sense a tone of jealousy.
In your brain, you thought, which one do I just want to fuck? Oh, man. We're having fun here. It's all a goof. Next time we'll do Fuck, Marry, Kill with, I don't know, Bella family.
I'm thinking Dalton Castle and the boys.
Dalton Castle and the boys, they're all the same. You fuck them all, baby. So did you like anyone else, or are we done? Let's just be done.
No, I
it
got my
matter.
Number one, but we're still waiting on your number two.
We've been through it. It was Daniel Bryan, it was Zeb Coulter, and it was Saraya. I had all of them.
All right. Well, my number one was the Doctor. Now, this OBGYN has Rose in his office, and he sets up the ultrasound, very professional. He's able to maintain a professionalism and not mock his patient, throw her and the father out of the office on the rear when Rosa thought that he could make the baby become an Olympic gold medal football player. And then the dad is like, oh, well, if you're going to do that, could you make him like Kobe? Like the doctor had that control on the baby. Like, sure, let me push a button. And your baby Jordan, Harold Miner, will come out exactly like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And win an Olympic gold medal in football.
Yeah, she wanted the gold medal winner, and then he said, maybe the baby will grow up to be like Kobe. So does he want the baby to grow up to be an anal rapist of women in hotels?
That's what I took from it.
Yeah, you think he wants the baby to be an anal rapist?
That and to refuse to play for any team except the Lakers.
Which is worse?
The Lakers.
I think so, too. If I had to pick, I would... No, never mind. None. Sign guy, your choice of Dean Ambrose is making more sense to me now.
That's why the tone of jealousy continues to escalate, I feel.
Listen. Your wife is going to have some nice dreams tonight. Or after she listens to this. She's gonna have some lovely dreams of you. Brother, what have we done with our lives?
One of us drank it away.
I have had a lot to drink today, and it's made the worst things happen, like Chris Brown back to sleep. Like this fuck, marry, kill, like... Watching Total Divas to begin with. Oh, you know, Trip Cassidy was saying he wanted to be on the show. Should we try to get him?
I don't see why not. I've always gotten along with Trip Cassidy.
What do you think about him as a worker?
I think he's phenomenal. Never actually wrestled him personally, but I've shared a locker room or five or six with him.
What do you think about him as a human being?
Can't really say because I don't know him very well.
What do you think about him as a lover?
Again, I would have to say not familiar enough with that aspect to form an opinion. Are you thinking
brother.
Of maybe asking him out or something? Are you trying to get some intel to make up your mind there?
No.
Are you going to be the DJ Tanner to Trip Cassidy and your wife Beth, Steve and Matt, respectively, from Fuller House?
I think you'd be more like a Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah, but she's not in a love triangle. She's just in a complicated marriage thing.
Is there an episode of, like, you know, I just want to say that when I glimpsed at that show, it felt like those weird, like, triple, like, you know, like, The Simpsons XXX or, like, Seinfeld XXX. I really thought that they were all just going to start fucking each other, and then they didn't, and that was actually weirder.
Although there are a lot of drinking episodes in that show.
Really?
I'd say probably the bigger part of the 13 I've seen so far... They've been down in tequila like it was water, which is extremely disconcerting when you consider actress Jodie Sweetin's past.
But
just because you're addicted to methamphetamines does not mean you have a problem with alcohol.
All she did have a problem with alcohol. She wrote about it in her biography.
Oh, well, then maybe she got over it. You know, people get over addictions, right?
She did, but it's just kind of odd knowing that they put the character as someone that just downs tequila like it's water.
Now, has she picked up a slab of aluminum foil and tossed a lighter under it when she has like a pin in her mouth and started sucking up any fume? Has that happened yet?
Not yet, but she did make a reference to pot brownies.
Did she make a... I'm done. I can't do it. I can't say any more things horrible. Beth specifically said before I started this, please don't embarrass me tonight, and I think I've avoided it thus far. I think I ruined it right off the bat. What you got going on, Sign Guy? Let's wrap this up.
Well, Friday on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, we have former WCW ring announcer Rhubarb Jones joining us for WCW Month. Then, Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have Vince Fahey, the creator of KayfabeMemories.com. That's KayfabeMemories.com. Then I got to beeline it down to Portland for some NWA blue collar wrestling.
Any big angle haps you want to scoop?
There was rumors, innuendo, and speculation of a ladder coming into play this week.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm into that. That's a little too much. Anything else going on?
I think that's about it for the week.
Yeah.
Although, we will be mailing out the plaque for the 2016 Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame inductee for 2016.
Is it me?
It is not. It is Stylin Brian Clafts.
Next year is my year.
It could be.
I mean, I've done a lot. I've watched a bunch of episodes of Divas. That's it.
You wrestled as a presidential nominee.
I absolutely did. I wrestled as John Kerry. I refereed a lot of matches. You know, I refereed a Brad Layman versus Chris Morris match where Chris Morris took the finger poke of doom, gave the title back to Layman. Yeah.
You counted that?
Yeah. No, wait. I was a manager for that one. I'm lying. I was a manager for that one. I refereed the match where Roger Blade was the champion versus Brad Layman. No, Layman was a champion versus Brad Layman. And
Layman was against Brad Layman?
It was Layman versus Roger Blade. Layman was the champion. Roger Blade was the challenger. Roger Blade, his finisher, the Stone Cold Stunner. And he was going for the, you know, the big pinfall, going to win the title. I dropped down. I hit the one. I hit the two. And then my shoulder gave out. You know how your shoulder gives out sometimes?
I once had mine separated, yeah.
Yeah, so I hit the one, the two. My shoulder gave out. Blade jerks me up, throws me in the corner and says, "What are you doing? What's happening?" And I'm like, my shoulder, you know? There's a problem with it. There's a kink in it. And as he's yelling at me, he's not paying attention to Brad Layman. He's regained his senses. Rolls him up real quick, and then I count to three. And then he thought I was wrong. Is that wrong?
Probably not. Did you ever find out from a medical doctor what the problem was with the shoulder?
It was riding coasters. You know, put your hands up in the air. Yeah. But then Blade, you know, he thought it was weird then that I was hanging out with Layman all the time and, you know, wearing suits, talking about how much better I was than everyone, telling kids that I could tell that on Thanksgiving they were grateful for all the food because they were fat little kids. I got to, you know, I don't know. I didn't think I was a bad guy. I was just saying things that were we were all thinking.
No, I once wrestled Roger Blade in a match he described as the most fun he'd ever had in a ring in his entire career.
Oh, yeah, Roger Blade, he's a big-time liar.
Really?
Yeah, lies a lot. Lies a whole lot.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe he meant it, but lies. Whole lot. Hey, Roger Blade, if you're listening, fuck you. And that's what I'll toss out. I don't care. Fuck him. He sucks. I'll say it. I'll say what Sign Guy wants to say, but won't. Because he's too nice. Fuck you, Roger Blade. Maybe Sign Guy doesn't want to say it.
Are you saying you're not a fan?
No, fuck him. He sucks. Piece of shit. He's a piece of shit, Sign Guy. Piece of goddamn shit. He's a turd. Whatever. I don't even know. Let's wrap this up. Hit that. We've gone so long. Jesus Christ. Hit that music. Let's end this. Bye. I love you, Sign Guy. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.
Da-da-da.